Are you seeking satisfaction in a substance to get by in life? Is that taking its toll on you and you want out? Your search ends here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Stay tuned for Heart to Heart with Mike Hottie, a conversation that can change your life.
Welcome to another session of Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Hottie, of Shekinah Road to Recovery program. And it's my privilege in this program to be actually chatting with a man who has a fascinating history and a fantastic testimony of the grace of God working in his life. Welcome, Armstrong Tulamanti Kuzwayo, to the program.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Greetings to everyone, our listeners out there. I am Armstrong Tulamanti Kuzwayo. Thanks to have me on the studio to share my thoughts about my Christian journey. Thanks a lot.
Yes, that's great. We're going to be actually chatting with Tulamanti about how the Lord has worked in his life. But I'd just like to remind our listeners that if you have a comment you'd like to make concerning the program, or if you have a query that you'd like to make, you're welcome to do so on the telephone number 082-789-5973. I'll say that number again, 082-789-5973. And I'll take this opportunity to thank all our listeners who have given favorable comments in the past and those who have asked questions. We trust that we've been able to help you in your own walk or your family's walk in finding recovery or start in recovery from the problems of substance abuse. But of course, this story today is all about the work that God has done in Tulamandi's life. Tulamanti, let's start right in the very beginning. Are you a local lad, or rather a lad? Of course, we're on radio now. People can't see, but I have a very mature man that I'm speaking to at the moment. But are you a local man yourself?
Yes, I am. I'm residing here at Hillcrest, Upper Highway, for almost 11 years now.
Okay. And then tell us a little bit about your childhood and upbringing. Was there any Christian influence in that?
Yes, I grew up in Mapumulo area, born of Stenga, with my mom and my dad, married. We were six children. I'm a second born, and unfortunately, my parents are with the Lord, and my brother and my youngest sister. I grew up in a church-loving family, but it was just an odd of the day to go to church.
That was the custom. You went to church.
Yes. Was just an order. You can't refuse.
Okay.
Because everybody will go to church, will be alone at home, you know? And again, then we went through all the Sunday schools and until we learned the catechism book, and then we got saved, if it was saved, because at that time we were very young. But in a nutshell, I grew up in Mapumulo, then I moved to Umlazi in 1981 when I was 13 years old to start my high school. And from there, I moved to college. I graduated, then I became a teacher. Then I came back to the very same school to work. I think that's very significant, just to mention. Yeah, it was Umlazi Commercial High School. We were going to church, but I can tell you, Mike, we were really not aware what was happening in church.
So it was more a ritual than a relationship.
Yeah, it was more about respecting the order of a parent. If your parents say, get dressed because we'll enjoy the Christmas, we'll enjoy the presents, we'll enjoy that we have passed, we've got new clothes. Yeah, why not? You must go to church. It's an order of the day. You can't be at home.
So that was just part of everyday life. It wasn't,
yes,
there was no genuine or real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ at that stage.
No, not at all.
Not at all. So this is a case of growing up, and you say you came back to your original school and you were teaching in your original school.
Yes.
And so what happened after that?
No, after that, because I was from that Christian background at school, I also, at high school, I started to attend these movements, you know, students, Christian movement. It was known as SEO by that time.
Okay.
Which I was not, I was familiar with the environment of going to church. But anyway, we were very casual because by that time, we were the teenagers growing up to the adolescent and with all such influences. But deep down in my heart, there was that thing that, you know, there is God, you must be in the company of the people who know about God and so forth. So at high school, we enjoyed that one. Same thing to the college. When we went there, people will come and preach and have fellowship on Sundays. And we have prayer meetings in the afternoons. It was okay. But again, the point is I was not saved, you know?
It's a case of, as I've often used as an example, you knew all about God, but you didn't know God. It's like I often ask people, I say, do you know Nelson Mandela? And people say, yes, I know Nelson Mandela. I say, well, I know all about him, but I've never ever met the man. I've never ever seen the man in real life. But I know all about him, but I don't know him. And I think that's the type of relationship you're talking about now. You knew all about God. You knew all the procedures and the things that people did and that in the church, but that really knowing him in a personal relationship, that was missing.
Yeah, funny enough, it's like many people knew the car, but not all people have driven the car, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now, it's a case of you were attending a lot of these meetings and that, but what happened after all that?
After all that, I started working in 1989.
Okay.
Yes. From there onwards, it was normal. I met so many people starting to work, very excited. We became like a group of teachers. We enjoyed ourselves. We joined the unions. We introduced to unions. We knew a lot about the struggle. We were also very active in our working environment, you know, because by that time, it was the introduction of teachers, you know, and especially SATU. So we were very active then. But fast forward, at school, in 1997, we had an internal conflict. There were so many demands because, as I'm saying, in our environment, I think that's where all the things started to shape up my life. We were notified that we were going to lose our jobs.
Oh, okay.
Then, having married in 1996, already
that's quite devastating. That newly married man, and you're just about to lose a very almost like a steady or a comfortable type job.
Yeah, so we were really having a conflict where it was going to be a lose-lose situation, you know. So I thought, because already I was so much involved. I was such a bad person, you know, drinking, smoking, doing everything. But again, going to church, you know, because I also wanted to maintain the same order in my family according to what my parents have taught me, you know. But at the same time, I was also much deep in a friend's relationship, you know. Now, having said that, then I decided, you know, in order to bridge the income, let me rather find something which is going to make sure that my financial being is stable. Then I decided to start building the taverns, you know?
Heaven.
Which was quite a huge move, you know?
And this is in the Mulweni area?
No, this was still at Umlazi.
Still in Umlazi, okay.
Yes, because I bought a house in 1994.
All right.
It's one of the sections at Umlazi. So I built a tavern. I made a business. Money was coming in. I enjoyed myself. I made a lot of nonsense of myself. Everything I thought was going well. It was until in 1999, because remember, in 1998, it was France World Cup, right?
That's right, yes.
So my place of business became very popular in the area because, you know, people come and watch football. Yes. Then it was named after France. No, okay, you want to go and drink? Go to France. You've got everything over there. So that's how the whole thing started to... in 1999, something happened. No, before that, my wife got saved in 1997. Okay. And significantly enough, I think the way we used to drink, my health was also deteriorating, you know?
All right.
I started to have a gout, you know, all these joints, pain and everything. Mm. So... my wife got saved, and I don't know how to explain this. I stopped drinking in 1997.
Mm-hmm. But you still own the tavern.
At the same time, I was running this practice.
Okay.
So you can imagine the contrast here. Mm. Because when you run such a business, you have to be within the zone of your friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what God was doing, but we continued for the next 2 years. Then something miraculously happened in 1999. I think it was in October. Whilst I was replenishing my stock and setting all the business for tomorrow, something happened. Something got hold of me because I was alone in the tavern by that time. I gave the time off to these guys who were helping me.
Yes.
And something came in like, how many people are you going to destroy? So who's talking to me now? And by that moment, I was so emotional and I started crying, you know. Said, what is happening? It was a matter of weeping throughout, you know. And then God... Mm-hmm. And the people who used to come, you know, by the afternoon on Friday, starts to, after five, things are very busy, you know?
Yeah.
But you won't believe that by that time, nobody came in around to the tavern. And God...
This is after you've heard this voice or you have this thought, how many people are you going to destroy?
I was inside my tavern on the counter doing this talk, putting everything in order, you know, the grills and so forth, you know, preparing food. Okay, guys, I know by 9 o'clock, things will be happening, you know?
Yes, yes.
And then this word say, how many people are you going to destroy? And something happened. One guy was really, really, I would say, a victim of my business. He just passed by.
He was a regular there.
Yes, he was my regular. And then God said to me, go and read Philippians 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Mm.
And then he said, you are going to close. I will show you exactly how I want you to live. To cut the story short, I went back to sleep because I let the guys to continue the work. I couldn't stand over there.
Mm-hmm.
I cried the entire night until the hours of tomorrow. And then God said, you go and buy the lock and then you lock this thing. You lock Mr. Phones and everything. Mm-hmm. That's how it happened. I closed off everything. Then I phoned the pastor because over these 2 years, I used to take my wife to church, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the pastor was very passionate about inviting me to come to church, you know? He was like saying, you know what, Kuzwayo, you can't be dropping your wife each and every now and again, you know? You need to come and fellowship with us and see exactly what is happening. So, but we got to know each other in that fashion, you know?
Yes.
Now, after a while, once everything has happened, I just phoned him. Babu, sorry, Babu Matonsela, come to my place, come and pray. It's done. That's all what I said to him.
Mm-hmm. So Tulumala, this was quite a drastic step. I mean, wasn't this a case of easing out of the business and that? One night you're in business, and the next day you got locks on the door, and the business is closed.
It's closed. That's, and you can't believe that on Saturday, people were coming to buy, you know, like drinks and small stuff, cigarettes and so forth. And it was closed. And I had to explain to them, say, no, guys, I'm not opening today. That was my statement, you know? Oh. And, you know, in a township, people will tell you, no, it's a downfall, it's for well, it's okay if it's a downfall, let it be, but I'm not opening. Hey, what's wrong with you? I've said, I'm done. Everything is over. I can't open.
That must have been very difficult for a lot of your regular people that were coming there to suddenly see that this is closed and you saying it's finished, it's done.
Yeah, it was not an easy thing because obviously it was a break off relationship with people, you know?
Yes.
And quite a number of people, they, you know, they'll buy on credit, they'll owe you, they'll come back and pay. God said, you must stop everything. I want you to stop everything. Nobody owes you nothing. Just close this thing. It's all over now.
Oh, that's an absolute dramatic and drastic actual change of events like that. And I'm sure it must have taken many, many people in the area by surprise when they suddenly realize that here's somebody who's been a friendly businessman, and then all of a sudden it's all just gone.
Yeah, because I think God listens to anybody's prayer, you know?
Yes.
Some a year ago before that, I think somewhere in 1998, because my house, we were looking at, it was just up and the road was down there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, there came the neighborhood, people are going to church in uniforms. They came and formed a group just in front of my tavern. Then they started praying, raising their hands towards the tavern. You know, I wanted to fight them.
It's bad for business.
Yeah, it's a bad lad, you know.
Yeah, it's bad for business.
The sales will drop through your prayers. But I picked up something about God, that God knows exactly what he's doing at his time. At the time when you don't understand what is happening. Now, I think that prayer, again, it was also a kind of a turning point because the closing down of then you can imagine the influence of the youngsters, the teenagers around the area. Everything was just centered around the tavern, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, at the same time, the parents were suffering like never. Then I realized when I got saved that those prayers, God was actually responding to them, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing how God works in different areas and in different people's lives. And this is what I've often said. You can't put God in a box that he's got to work this way with a particular person and he'll work the same way with somebody else. He'll work with you in one way and he'll work with me in another way. And for our listeners, if we open to God, he'll work in your life in a possibly a completely different way. We just need to be open to that move of the Holy Spirit in our lives and be responsive to God when he speaks to us, and then we will see definite change in our situations or our lives. Philomani, this is an absolutely fascinating story. We see here, the tavern's closed. It's people are coming the next day and wondering what's happened here. And you telling them it's all done, it's finished. Listeners, we're going to go to a music break now. But when we come back, we're going to hear how God has continued working into Namani's life after he made that decision, after hearing from you to close this tavern completely. We're going to find out what happened after that. Stay with us. Welcome back, listeners, to Hearts with myself, Mike Hart. It's my privilege to be chatting with Armstrong Tulamandli Kuzwayo, who was a tavern owner, a teacher and a tavern owner, and God spoke to him and said, how many people are you going to destroy? When he was alone in his tavern, and through the Holy Spirit ministering in such a way, bringing conviction to him, he closed the tavern, locked the doors, to the surprise of many round about him. Now, Tulamandli, what happened after that? This is actually enthralling. I can't wait to hear what happened after this.
Let me just mention one thing. When I was still young, there's a Baba Bengu from Assemblies of God.
Mm.
He brought the revival in Mapumulo area, and a lot of churches were born. But now, because we're in the same household, as young as we were, then the aunt received the salvation. She got saved, and she received the Holy Spirit. Now, with us in the middle of two churches now, you know, when you're young, you end up now not knowing what is the Holy Spirit. And these things were kind of scaring us.
Hmm.
And your parents at the same time, they will take you to their church. So there was these two sectors of people in the house. And we were really kind of developing and understanding. We're observing and looking at all these things. But having said that, what actually happened after that? And so, Mike, can you imagine on Monday going back to work?
Yeah.
You have to tell people that you are saved. You have to tell people that you have received Christ. You are no longer that old person. You are a new creation now. This is what has happened to you. And, you know, God opens your mouth. And he shows you all the things that he have revealed to you. Because in isolation, God speaks to you.
Hmm.
And it's only God who speaks to you and gives you exactly what you want you to do.
Hmm.
You remember the stories of Saul coming Paul. You remember Abraham in isolation. You remember Moses come alone. It was a matter of understanding now where I am. Then I joined the guys that I have been cursing at work about their Christian journey. Then slowly I started to introduce myself to them. Guys, I got saved over a weekend. I said, no. You are a branch secretary. You can't be telling us that thing. We know you. So no, I got saved. Then you know, those were the good guys. They started to introduce me. How do you go about, how do you read the Bible, how do you keep up with your faith, what is salvation? And then I attended a lot of church, and I really committed myself in church by that time, such that every morning assembly, I'll be there conducting the word of God. Then I started to work very closely with the leaders, you know, with all sorts of problems that they have, ranging from poverty, drugs, you know, their personal problems, visiting homes. It was a matter of now engaging, you know, in the neighborhood. There's a prayer, there's a funeral, there's a memorial service, at school, at work. Then I also joined this teacher organizations, SCM, you know, where teachers, they meet. Because by that time, things were very much happening, you know. teachers will meet, we'll go to this school, we'll go to this school, we have a service, then we'll rotate the schools. Two guys that I won't forget by name of Dumsan Teta and Tanyil and Kosi, those guys, they really, they were so much of mentors to us. They coach us, start to learn how to pray and so forth. So basically now I was in a platform where I can tell people, where I can spread the good news. Come to Christ, this is what will happen to you. So from there onwards, it was a matter of fire, you know?
And that's actually fantastic. And I'm sure your wife must have been quite thrilled about the situation, because you say that she was saved before you. She had had her own encounter with Jesus. And for you now to suddenly have this new life within you, she must have been very happy.
She was very happy, I can tell you. And, you know, it was like now and again, I have to say to her, hey, listen, my wife, I'm so sorry for everything that I've done. I never knew that how much it was hurting to you, you know? So, you know, when you start to look back and look where you are, and you look how much we have hurt the people that God has placed you in, you won't believe the feeling that you have of regretting, you know? It's like when I come home at 2 o'clock at night, maybe early hours of tomorrow, and my wife is just praying and praying, and God will say to you, you know what, don't just go there, don't touch it, don't do anything. That is how, this is how God works his way in you. And as I'm saying, it was so amazing for the family.
And so definitely we see the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17 in your life, where it says, Paul writes, and he says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are all passed away. All things have become new. And so, it was the teacher and the tavern owner, now the teacher and then the teacher of the good news. Complete newness of life for you.
Exactly. Because I think I need to mention this. When you got saved, you need to move from the ground floor to the upper room. Perhaps if it makes sense, you know?
Yes.
So in 2003 to 2006, because you have to start serving in church, you know? You start to realize God in you, the gifts that God has placed in you. So in 2003 to 2006, I became a deacon in church, you know. I served church. I was much involved in building of the church, extension of the church, doing the books of the church and so forth. And again, preaching in church, quite a lot was happening, you know.
Okay. So this is the development in the early years of your ministry.
Yes.
In serving as a deacon in the church and preaching on occasion and all that, and teaching and helping, counseling with others. And did this spread into the schools a bit?
Yes, quite a lot in schools, because now I was known. By the late 2008, I was much involved. Because another thing, when you're at school, don't forget, you are preaching in a number of people. And when they move out of the school, you become a reference to them, you know? And they are always eager to invite you to say, no, come to our university, come to our place, come to our institution. That is how then the whole thing started to moving up, you know, stepping another level in my faith, in my journey, in my Christian journey, because I will go to University of Westville, their own platforms as students. You go there and preach, they will invite you, they will mix you with a number of people. You go there and motivate. So things were really, really happening until today, you know?
That's fantastic. So I just want to backtrack a little bit. When you closed the tavern and you said to the customers, that's it, it's done, was it done? Have you had any contact back there? Have you? Is the tavern history, or is there still some sort of link with your own life with the tavern?
No, nothing, because when I closed the tavern, it was 1999, right?
Okay.
And then immediately, it took only 4 years, then I had to sell everything, all the property, and then I moved to Bluff, you know?
Okay.
Then somehow, it was a break, because I felt that whilst I'm still in the area, I don't want to backslide, you know? Because, you know, friends, they always attract you. They always bring something for, they always remind you, you are a human being. Yeah. Then I felt, for me to grow up, let me sell the entire property, because it was part of the way I wanted to invest, you know, buy property and sell. So I moved to Bluff. Then in Bluff, I stayed almost 10 years over there. Then I moved to Waterford, you know. So all the way, I was making friends. But then I did not lose contact with the people, because in my heart, I felt that if I have an opportunity, I always go and revisit them, because they always have this question, hey, bro, we still can't believe what happened to you, you know?
Yes.
Now, that always gave me an opportunity to share my thoughts, to share my the whole story with them in such a way that quite a number of them, I can tell you, they are now saved, you know? And miraculous, that's what God wanted us to do, you know? Mm. And even today when I meet them, I always share with them, hey, you know what? Hey, we remember you. Then I always get an opportunity to spread the good news with them.
Mm. Yeah. Because people say, there's Tulumani, the tavern owner, but he hasn't got the tavern anymore.
No, I don't have anything now.
He's got a new message.
Yes.
Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic. Tulumani, I'd like to ask you, how important is it to have a meaningful, ongoing relationship with God? I'd like to ask you that because I know that we can talk in depth about what the Lord is doing in your life at present. But I'd like to save that for another program. But how important is it for you now to have a meaningful, ongoing relationship with God?
I think maybe to start to try to answer the question, it's very important to understand that, one, you are in God's creation, you are God's image, you are in God's likeness. And if you go through to Psalm 139, all the days of your life, they are numbered, you know? So each and every time when you wake up in the morning, you have to have this thing in your mind that to live, it is Christ, and for you to die is a profit, you know?
Yes.
Especially when you receive Christ, it's an ongoing relationship, because you convert from who you are into a servanthood, you know? If I say to a servanthood, you are actually there, it's like an employment. You sign the employment contract. God did a new contract with you. And then you start to understand that all the rewards, all the awards, everything is God. You just seek Him first and everything shall be added to you. So in trying to answer you, I'm saying, you realize that whatever that you do in life, it is not through your power, it is not through your wisdom, it is only what God has designed, His people's, His plans in you. Now, I always encourage people, no matter how life looks like, you are always now guaranteed that being in a relationship with God, because remember, Mike, there is this Revelation 3, verse 21. Those who overcome, you know, those who overcome. You understand that as I wake up in the morning, the enemy is always has a package for everyone, you know, especially the believers. So you start to realize that as you read the word of God, every day you have to wake up with the concept of overcoming, 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 and surrendering yourself to God. So those challenges, you definitely understand that if I win all the battles through God, Now I will qualify to sit around the throne of God.
Amen. I see in this situation here, all the seeds that were planted in your early life, going through to church, although it was just the thing that the family did, your aunt and her influence there in your young days. But it's amazing how God works. He plants all these seeds, and then all of a sudden he brings it to fruition, and our lives change. We can look back and we can say, man, thank you, Lord. You've been working in my life all these years. I didn't realize it, but you've been there working in my life, putting all things in place for me. And that's the confidence we can have in Christ going forward. When we look back and we see how he has led us this far, we can have confidence looking to him for the future. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I'd just like to ask a little bit more on the personal side. You and your wife, is your wife involved at all in the work that you're doing in the ministry? Or is she working? Or is she a house mother?
No, my wife is working.
Is she working? Okay.
Yes. And our kids are grown up now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got adults, you know. So they are working. They are independent, but they go to church.
Mm-hmm.
The only one is at the university doing the second year. I want to believe my wife is very instrumental with our kids, you know, because even then they are living in these days, but they know exactly that the life in this house, it's all about Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Now, moving forward, you don't have to invite them to be part of what we are doing. They are the part of the family.
Yes.
They know that if we go to church, either they join us at Molweni Church, that we are doing a church plant. They know that there is City Hill, Hillcrest, where we were before we moved to church to Molweni. So obviously, even for now, they are not actively talking about Christ, but Christ in their parents, it says a lot to them.
Yes, yes. I think this is that we don't realize the influence that we have as parents on our children. And oftentimes we need to always remember, if we train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that's scriptural. That's scriptural. And it's absolutely important for listeners to know that it's important to set the example, even as Sulamani and his wife have been doing for their children. Even though they're adults, they're still our children. And we need to always set the right example for our children. And that's where we see where Christ himself said that we should be holy even as he is holy. And we have the privilege where we are called the children of the living God. What a privileged status we have in this life, that we might call God our Father. And of course, Christ set the example for us. So it's absolutely thrilling, Sulamani, to hear you saying where you and your wife are still setting that example and are living out the life. You're not just talking the talk, but you're actually walking the talk as well, which is absolutely important today.
Yeah, I want to mention two things to you.
Yes.
You know, when I introduce myself, wherever I will be holding a platform to preach, I usually say to people, I'm running three churches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed with three churches. They want to know, what is it? I said, the first church is my family.
Yes.
The second church is the workplace. Mm. And the third church is where I am spiritually, like a garage where I am fed, where I check everything. Mm. Then I will go straight to Matthew 28. Go there, go ye, you know?
Yes.
So I always say to people, this is where I am. Because if you don't have your family as a church, we must start to preach in our own family, you know? no matter whatever happens, but within your own, I can't go all the way out and start to spread the good news without spreading the good news in my own house. Now, this is what I tell my kids. Guys, look here. People have got only 4 days to live, you know?
Yeah.
If you believe that, you live in Genesis 1, verse 26. Let's create a man in our own image. And plus Psalm 139, I know you before you were born, while you were in your mother's womb. That 9 months is a day one, you know? Then day two is Philippians 1, verse 21. For you to live is Christ and to die is gain, right? Then the next one is at the cemetery. That is day three, where we say, according to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, those people who are there, they know nothing. They've got nothing to do with us now. I mean, that is where they are, you know?
Yeah.
And then day four, it is when you live on the throne of God, according to Revelation 3, verse 21. So I always try to put this mentality to them to understand that, you know what? You've got only 4 days to live. Now you are in day two. For you to be in day four, you must be having day two, and day four must be in day two. Because otherwise, in day three, in cemetery, there's nothing that you are going to do.
Sulamani, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. It's been a thrill chatting with you. And I trust, listeners, that you have learned something of the goodness of God, even as the Lord has worked in Tulamani Kuzwayo's life. So he too can work in your life if you're just prepared to trust him along the way. And listeners, I've got some good news for you. We're going to have another conversation with Tulamani Kuzwayo, and that will be in a further program. Until then, God bless you all.
Amen.